just dream that? Did I really see that? Were you really there with me? Or what did we just feel? Om Shiva Shri Shakti Shivoham Shaktyoham. How can I know that? How can we always see that? Could we really go back there? Is it with us everywhere? Om Shiva Shri Shakti Shivoham Shaktyoham. Whenever you smile at me, the sun in me is freed then from all the past, from pain, from hurt, from any more words. Om Shiva Shri Shakti Shivoham.
A man applied for a job in ship and he was called for an interview. So the ship officials were sitting and they asked the man, suppose you are traveling in a ship and suddenly there is a storm, what will you do? The man said, I'll throw out the anchor. The official said, okay, that's good. Then they asked, what will you do if there is another storm? He said, I'll throw out another anchor. They said, okay, well, fine. But now imagine there is a third storm. What will you do? The man said, again the same, I'll throw out the anchor. The officials objected, from where you are getting so many anchors? But the man replied, from the same place where you are getting all the storms from. So you're getting so many storms, so also I'm getting so many anchors. And this is how the mind works. It keeps on generating and generating and generating thoughts, feelings and emotions. And these thoughts themselves become a trap. And the man gets caught in the cobweb of his own thoughts and emotions. The function of the mind is to think and to generate thoughts continuously. They say that we have about 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts in a day. Maybe 40 to 60 thoughts per minute. On an average, that's a huge number. And thoughts are conflicting, opposing, at times disturbing. But the process goes on unless and until we have certain practices which we are doing. We really do not know what thoughts will come, how they will come, when they will come, and in which direction they will take us. The day remains unknown. One philosopher has said that the day is sometimes mother, but many times stepmother. Things are okay many times, but things turn topsy-turvy most of the time. So with that monkey nature of the mind, to restrain this mind, to restrain the innate tendencies of this mind, we need certain things. Otherwise, it will go berserk. It will go uncontrolled and drive us crazy. All the systems of the yoga are to train this monkey mind. They say that mind is like a monkey. Monkey is very, very fickle, very, very unstable by his very nature. And then somebody comes and makes that monkey drink wine. The monkey is all the more unstable, restless. And then a scorpion comes and bites the monkey. The bite of the scorpion is painful. The monkey is moaning and groaning with excruciating pain. And then a demon enters the body of monkey. Now who can paint the restlessness, the pain, the agony, the anguish? Man's mind is just like monkey. It is unstable by its very nature. And then the desires, the wine of desires, the bite of jealousy, and the demon of vices enter. So mind becomes restless. If you just observe your mind, it is so unstable, extremely unstable, untamable. And how to control, how to tame this wild, wild mind? In fact, that is one of the goals of Raja Yoga, to understand the mind, to understand the tendencies of the mind, not to suppress it, not to repress it, not also to let it indulge in sensual gratification, but to find out a method by which we can train it and make it our servant so that it can serve us. And one of the major thing, the major leakages of the energies of the mind is waste thoughts. There are so many avyakta murlis on just this one word, waste. From where this waste is generated? What is the source of this waste? Yesterday, we were seeing the message of 21st July 2011, where Baba said, "Your ancestors, your progenitors, your forefathers, have mercy. The worldly souls are suffering in misery, in gloom, in darkness. Give them Sakash. in continuation of the same murli, same message. बाद में बाबा ने राखी के लिए कहा कि राखी का उत्सव अब बच्चों के लिए संकल्प करने का दिन है. क्या संकल्प करना है? बाबा ने कहा, वर्तमान समय बाबा ने देखा है कि बुरे संकल्प कम चलते हैं, लेकिन व्यर्थ संकल्प चलते रहते हैं. इससे समय भी व्यर्थ चला जाता है. इस बार जब राखी बांधो तो प्रतिज्ञा करो, आज से मैं व्यर्थ संकल्प कर व्यर्थ समय नहीं गवाऊंगा. उनको समाप्त कर मन को सेवा में और बाप के प्यार में बिजी रखो. जितना मन को बिजी रखेंगे उतना जो बाप चाहते हैं कि अब दुख की दुनिया खत्म हो और सब सुख की दुनिया या मुक्ति धाम में जाए, वो सभी के दुख की लहर खत्म हो, वो लहर आपको अभी अंदर में लानी चाहिए. इस राखी पर व्यर्थ समाप्त कर समर्थ बनने की प्रतिज्ञा सभी अपने से करें. दोनों ही बातें टाइम और संकल्प, क्योंकि बाबा ने कहा है संगम युग का एक एक सेकंड बहुत मूल्यवान है और एक एक संकल्प महान है. अभी के संकल्प से ही आप अपने को और विश्व को परिवर्तन करते हो. इसलिए बाबा ने कहा, राखी पर सभी मन में दृढ़ संकल्प करें कि व्यर्थ समाप्त. फेस्टिवल इज जस्ट हुक ऑन विच बाबा वॉन्ट्स टू हैंग हिज व्यू पॉइंट एंड यू कैन यूज देम इन एनी मैनर यू वॉन्ट. इन फैक्ट एवरी डे इज अ डे ऑफ फेस्टिवल. Every day is a day of enjoyment for Brahmin, because every day is new, bringing with it so many possibilities. So Baba is saying, make this pledge, make this oath to put an end to all the waste thoughts. Why? Because these thoughts, they consume a lot of energy. The goal of spiritual life is energy conservation. The goal of spiritual life is energy cultivation. And in this process of energy cultivation and energy conservation, uncontrolled thoughts, waste thoughts, thoughts of vices, sensual fantasies, they act as a major barrier. So today we'll see something about waste. In the medical sciences, there is a word called anatomy. In anatomy, they study human body structures. There are two types, macroscopic anatomy and microscopic anatomy. The gross structure is studied in macroscopic anatomy. It's known as gross anatomy. While in microscopic anatomy, histology, study of tissues and cells. So also, if we study the anatomy of waste, we will have to study these two aspects. The macroscopic aspect, the gross aspect, and the microscopic aspect. From where the waste arises, one of the major source of waste is past. And second, future. In psychology, they say that only present is the real time. The past and the future are pseudo time, false time. Another source of waste is persistent nature or habit of overthinking. Let things happen. Move like a river. Things come and things go. Why we want to hold on something? The moment we try to grab something, the sorrow starts. Keep the feast open. Desires lead to waste. Excessive desires. Ambitions lead to waste. They say that a religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. All the worldly ambitions, they cause restlessness. Expectations lead to waste. Why we expect, why we desire? Because there is an emptiness within us. If you see, the goal of spirituality is to become sthitapragya, get stabilized in your own self. When you realize that there is nothing on the surface, when you realize that I am operating most of the time on the circumference, decentering has happened. The goal of spirituality is centering. Come back to the center, your very nature. You don't have to do anything more than that. Because on the circumference is turbulence, disturbance. There is everything within us. This inside world is much, much bigger than the outside world. The microcosm, this is macrocosm. The waste is generating because of living a superficial life on the circumference. We have become Brahmins, we have knowledge. But the knowledge has become a commonplace thing for us. It is not opening the internal doors. There is some closed thing, a closed mind, an open mind. And this closed mind is full of darkness. And yet, so egoistic that we know knowledge, we know things. But it is lost in rituals, in celebrations, in outside functions that we call seva. In food, in preoccupation with food, in media, in digital world. So everything is making us something known as self-forgetfulness. The goal of spirituality is self-remembering. The goal of spirituality is atmasmaran, self-remembering. And stop living this superficial life, a life of show-off. Spirituality is all about retiring in silence. Be in touch with your own self. Rather than putting an outward garb of senseless celebrations and functions and same rituals, you're just following it blindly. That's what is generating waste. So it's know where from the waste is arising. More often than not, seva itself is the cause of waste. Not seva per se, but the clashes of ego during seva. The jealousy that arises during seva. The latest Murli was so pertinent. Baba just spoke only on one word, happiness. And this Murli is not for the outward, outside people. It is for Brahmins. So probably Brahmins are unhappy. Not just unhappy, extremely unhappy. So Baba just spoke only on happiness. He has so many other topics list with him. He just kept aside all of them. And just focused only on happiness. That's your nourishment. That's your completeness. That your fulfillment. So that spine, that shine should be on your face. Where the happiness goes away. Why the happiness disappears. Why your face wilts. So everything was just based on this one word. Are we really happy? After becoming Babas, or we are living in a false world of delusion that we are happy. You are less unhappy or unhappy, whatever you call it. But definitely, we have gathered a lot of informations, and informations never make anybody happy. And we call those information as Gyan. We know what is soul, what is supreme soul, where does he stay, when does he come, what does he do, what is going to happen, what is the present scenario of the world. This is Brahma, and so on and so forth. The sum total of everything that we have heard, we call this Gyan. Gyan is not this. Gyan cannot come from outside. Gyan cannot even come from Murlis. Even from God. Gyan is already in the soul. That what is coming from outside, that is information. This information should get coupled, combined with experience, then only it is called Gyan. Otherwise it is not Gyan. You have Murli with you. You might read it 10 times, 20 times. You might give classes and lectures and fiery brainstorming sessions. But that doesn't make you Gyani at all. Gyan is tested only in situations and circumstances. Reading Murlis cannot make you Gyani. If that be so, then everybody would have become till now. But nobody has become. So, we are living in a false, illusory world. The most important thing is to break this illusion that we know. We do not know anything. And for this experience is not such a cheap thing that you can buy on online or you can get on social media. Experience, anubhuti, is to be earned. It needs tyag. It means tapasya. The Murlis are the very high words which are coming from silence. Without that deep silence, there cannot be any understanding of the Murli. One can understand words, but not the feelings, the real meaning. That what is called connotation of those words. First of all is to break this illusion that we know. First of all to break this illusion that we are in Gyan from last 30 years, 40 years or 50 years. First of all break the illusion that we live in this place or that place. Break the illusion of place, time or the titles which you have in front of you or behind you. Your name. That all is an illusory world. When all the illusion is broken, then with that new understanding, the journey begins. Now I want to know. What is it? That's why he said, at least in 6 months, spend 3 days without book, without pencil, without pen, without mobile, without touch with the world, absolutely alone, don't read anything, no Murli, nothing. Just be with yourself in a very small closed room and see how you can stay. This will give a new understanding. How restless the mind is, how we are filled with so much waste. Our outward appearance is just mere an illusion of being a yogi. Break free of all this and the new journey begins. The journey of truth, where I am not that what people know me. I have formed my image of myself based on what people think of me. People think he is a great yogi, so I feel I am a yogi. People feel that he is good, he is intelligent, so I have formed my image that I am intelligent. Break this. My image has nothing to do with their opinions and their comments. I want to know who I am. Have I really understood this knowledge? Or this knowledge has that penetrated within me? Or it is just floating on the surface? The Murlis don't touch any of the questions that arise in my mind. Murlis are here. My questions are here. And yet I say that I am getting all the answers. In fact, I am not getting any answer. But we have been told that all answers are in the Murli. But have you got it? No. So unless and until you get it, how can you believe then? But there is a fear then, what the Brahmin family will say. Okay, I am talking, oh, answer is not there. But it is not there, so what I can do? The first is to be true to yourself, to be in truth. I have not got. This is the question and I have not got the answer. So probably your method is wrong. Now search, go, find, search, seek, research, scan, ransack. Another method. You have to reach the truth. That's it. The desire to know the truth, the ultimate truth, the highest truth, the truth that will free me, the first and the last freedom. Jai Krishnamurti has said somewhere, the goal is to reach that first and the last freedom. When the mind is freed and shaven off from all the belief systems, till now whatever you have created within you, this, Brahmins have become superstitious. Our mind is a superstitious mind. We have been told certain things and we started believing them. And the things happen as per. But that's not the goal. We want to get rid of all the belief systems and reach a place, a stage, where God's consciousness will reflect upon our consciousness and we will be exactly what He is, the image of God. So that's the goal and that's the way we get rid of all the West. Om Shanti.